The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Wednesday morning. Tune in to a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. It's a numbers game with Gil Alexander. That's me. Kelly Bidlin's to my right. That's him. How you doing, man?
Doing great. Just doing great.
I need the draft to get here because I need to stop making bets. Just get here. Let's pick the picks so we can move along. Every day there's a different story.
It's weird these days, like especially this week, because we're up really late watching NBA and stuff like that. But I had that moment like driving in this morning. I'm like, the draft is tomorrow already.
Tomorrow. Like, we can finally say that.
Happen?
Yeah.
But then at the same time, you're also like, I feel like we've been talking about the draft for seven straight weeks. When obviously that's not true.
And when I step back. And just because I didn't step back when I was driving in this morning, this is true. I was thinking to myself, do you have any idea what's going to happen after two? And the answer is, I have no clue.
No idea.
No idea. And we sort of threw it in about Drake May yesterday. We were like, he specifically is the guy that you could.
He could go second or not in the first round tomorrow. And I don't know if I'd be surprised.
It feels like an Aaron Rodgers drop kind of thing. When Darren Rodgers dropped? Yeah. I don't know. Not to compare him to Aaron Rodgers, but you get the idea. Aaron Rodgers went, 24th that year? The year that Alex Smith went number one. We will talk NFL draft with Will Hill. JVT, in addition to the NBA, we'll have some NFL draft thoughts, as will Sia Najad, who will talk golf with us, but he too will have NFL draft thoughts. David Silverston, senior draft analyst at Our Lads Scouting Services, will join us as well, Kelly, to talk NFL draft, how he thinks this is going. And then there's Jason Weingarten, who, for God's sakes, who knows what he'll talk about, maybe even taking a new DEI job somewhere like he talked about last time. I don't know. Before we get into all of that, including the NBA with JBT, let me get the Guardians portion out of the way, because if you allow me to talk Guardians, I may go on for 2 hours. So let's get it on right here. Guardians win yesterday. For those of who have either jumped on this bet with me, and I know there's a lot of you who have, and also to those who have been so kind to say they're not even involved, but they're rooting us on. Thank you to you. Love you for that. Guardians win. Come from behind win over the Red Sox yesterday, 4-1. That brings them to 17-6. So again, the initial handicap, those 17 games against the Oakland Athletics, 7 of them, the White Sox, 3, and the Red Sox, 7. Why the Red Sox in that group? I rated the Red Sox worse than most people did, so I threw them in that group, and I thought those were the 17 games they had to make hay on, and they have. They're 12-3 now, with 2 of those games remaining today and tomorrow against the Red Sox. But, Kelly, that's the good news. The Guardians control their own destiny. 6 games left. That's the good news. The bad news is this ain't over because they got those 6 games left. And the Braves and the Yankees just won't go away. Braves specifically.
Go away, Braves and Yankees.
Go away. Braves are 16-6. The Yankees are 16-8. They are the only two teams within one win of the Guardians. Now, remember, the rules are different here at Circa. The tiebreaker is fewest losses if you end up with the same amount of wins. And then the second tiebreaker is run differential. The Guardians have the edge in run differential by 12 over the Braves and are tied with the Braves for the fewest losses. So the tiebreakers look good. Now, if it's a DraftKings, it's a dead heat. And this would be, let's put it this way. If we won this and you got dead heated, that'd be a sucky thing to get that math taken from you. But here's the deal. And I just want to couch it this way right now. I'm going to say that the two games tonight and tomorrow are, and we can say this about all 6 games, obviously, but tonight and tomorrow specifically to me are monster. And here's why. Follow me here. Remember when I went through the path earlier, I said this was a series they had to go 2-1 in, at least. If they can go 3-0, it would be ideal, meaning winning today and winning tomorrow. And by the way, thank goodness we didn't get rained out yesterday, literally dancing through the raindrops. I don't know if they were dancing.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
But they just got that game in. Whew, thank goodness.
I've been checking the scores. I was texting you. I've been checking the scores each night, but I forgot we were talking about rain on the show.
I thought
yesterday
all day it wasn't going to get played and we were going to have a doubleheader today, but they got it in. The Guardians won it 4-1. So here's the deal. If the Guardians can somehow win today and tomorrow, that would make them 19-6. Let's assume the Braves beat the Marlins. That would make them, and they don't play tomorrow, that would make them 17-6. So now, remember this, the only team that has been unluckier than the Guardians who not only lost a game to rain in Minnesota, but also lost their ace Shane Bieber to Tommy John surgery, is the Braves. The Braves lost their ace to Tommy John surgery, Spencer Strider, and they lost two games to rain that aren't going to get rescheduled in the framework of the bet March and April wins. So if the Guardians, I'm about to say we, Kelly, if the Guardians, just borrow them for the month, Adam Berg. if the Guardians can go up two wins with the same amount of losses, heading into what we always know, what we always knew to be the hard part of this schedule, the last four games at three at Atlanta, and the last one at Houston, and then the month of April ends. That's why it's only one. But if you can go up on the Braves two in the win column heading into that three-game set at Atlanta, essentially what it gives you against the Braves is the cushion to only go 1-2 in that series and still have the edge over Atlanta heading into your last game. So what it does is, unless you get swept, it cushions you from a somewhat disaster, right? So if you go 1-2, you still have the edge over the Braves. And then you say, yeah, but Gil, what about the Yankees who still have 16 wins? You're right. The Yankees are still a problem because the Yankees have one more game to play than the Guardians do. But here's the deal with the Yankees. After these two games against the A's today and tomorrow, then they've got five at Milwaukee and at Baltimore, total five games. And you got to figure that in those five games where they're at Milwaukee and Baltimore, those teams are all going to beat up on each other. So I think, getting back to the original point, tonight and tomorrow are the most monster of all monstrosity for the Guardians, for the reason stated. I think if you can somehow figure, obviously, got to win at least one of them, going back to the 2-1 in this series to move this along. But if you can win both of those and sweep the Red Sox and get us to 14-3 in those 17 games and have that two-win edge over the Braves, knowing what the Yankee schedule is coming up, despite your schedule, it will be such a great position to be in. So just absolutely huge today and tomorrow.
Any thoughts of taking, like, I don't know, over what are they got? Over 2-1 on the A's and stuff like that, playing the Yankees right now. Braves got a soft schedule just to hedge a little bit off of it.
I'm not playing those. Not touching them. I'm not.
Just bring it up.
Nope. Let's not pollute this. It's too early to even think about other things like that. But this has gone as well as possible so far. Six games left, though. Nothing is certain. Let's go to the NFL draft, because one bit of big news, at least from the rumor mill, happened last night, and it's from our own Michael Lombardi. Did you catch this, Kelly?
I did. Would you like to, we want to hit the sort-ish breaking news first?
Oh, it's a sort of breaking news.
Reggie Bush got his Heisman Trophy back.
Reggie Bush got his Heisman Trophy back, ladies and gentlemen. I didn't expect to wake up this morning and see that.
Well, me either.
He got it back because essentially the Heisman committee said, because of enormous changes in the college football landscape, here's your Heisman back. And what they really mean, of course, is, I get it, you were NIL before NIL was allowed, but now since NIL is allowed, here you go. My question, as I said off air, was this. Okay, if that's the case, if you're giving Reggie Bush's Heisman back, shouldn't USC get that championship reinstated too? Like, BCS, could you come back? We need an emergency meeting. I know it's been 20 years. Come on back. We need to give them their championship.
It was a great initial question by you. I had to go down the rabbit hole, and you're like, oh yeah, just we got to get the BCS Presidential Oversight Committee back together. And I don't know how we're going to be able to do that to get USC their championship back. I mean, that has to happen though, right? Like you can't do this with Reggie Bush.
It was stupid then. It's even stupider now.
Yes.
It's all this taking away championships was nonsense.
I kind of feel like the Reggie Bush Heisman thing's like a little bit like the Sixers Knicks like last 2 minute report, where you're like, it you don't really need to make this public.
Oh, yeah.
Like just
last 2 minute report, meaning we were wrong. Tyrese Maxey got fouled not once but twice.
Right, yeah, like yeah. We were wrong about four things, yeah, by the way. Well. But like, shouldn't it just be like, hey Reggie Bush, here's your Heisman, and here's like $10 million for us like hurting your life and likeness and career over the past 20 years.
Kinda. Yeah, they're not gonna go that far. But anyway, good for Reggie Bush. Get your Heisman back. Okay, so Bill 80 does the newsletter. Bill's late nights become your early mornings, Kelly. I don't know if you know that. And he writes, the joy of six quarterbacks. So he's talking about he had a bunch of meetings on Tuesday. This is Bill talking now, right? And he looks at his inbox, and he's got Michael Lombardi's email. And Michael Lombardi wrote a column on the Cowboys prospects that they need, positions they need this offseason. And then Bill said he gets to the last paragraph, and Michael writes this. I am sold on the quarterbacks going early and believe there will be six in the first round. I don't believe six are worthy, only that teams need answers at the most important position. 6, Bill says. So, Michael Lombardi, by the way, coming here to Las Vegas to be on our draft coverage. And Bill sees him at Circa and he goes, hey, what's the deal with the 6 quarterbacks? And Michael says, quote, yes, I have a good source that Bo Nix will go in the first round. Then he asks Michael Penix Jr. too. Lombardi says, yes. So that makes 6, along with Caleb, Jaden, Drake, and JJ. First name basis, by the way.
You're tight with them.
Yeah. So, all right, total quarterbacks in the first round, which I have an under on. I'll be wrong about that if that's the case. But over is what, like $3 again? Nix, 32.5. I think the under was plus money, at least as of this morning. Penix is also set at 32.5 draft position. His under is heavily juiced.
The 4.5 number does keep fluctuating a bit, huh?
Oh, it's been up and down. But if you buy into what Lombardi is saying, if you believe him and his sources, it's going to be 6.
I got no idea. I mean, we talk about it all the time. We're about to talk to JVT. He is very anti the whole talk of going back in the first round. I think once again, it's a draft that makes sense where that could happen, but I don't know. And it hasn't happened as much as we like to think it does.
Getting back to the original point, I have no idea what's about to happen after 1 or 2. I'm sold on Jaden Daniels to Washington. I know others aren't.
I mean, same with what we're talking about May earlier, but same with Nix and Penix, right? Like, I don't know if I'd be surprised they went at 15th or, like, in the fourth round.
I'm starting to feel like this is a draft where, like, I'm going to need Alt to go 5 just so I can erase some of the other bets kind of thing. I mean, it could be a spectacular draft. It could be a sucky draft. I have no idea right now after 2. That's the latest rumor. JVT next on the draft in the NBA.
The Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Experience the thrill of the NFL draft with VSiN's exclusive coverage on Thursday. That's tomorrow, starting at 6 p.m. Eastern, with VSiN primetime host Tim Murray, Jonathan Von Tobel, and special guests Mike Golic Sr. and Mike Golic Jr. as they dive deep into the draft prospects and predictions. Stay locked in for a special edition of the GM Shuffle at 8 p.m. Eastern, where former NFL exec Michael Lombardi and Femi Abebefe bring you real-time analysis of the first-round picks. Michael will give his thoughts on every draft pick and trade as they happen. Watch this special edition of the GM Shuffle on VSiN, DraftKings Network, or on VSiN's YouTube page. Cap off the night at 11 p.m. Eastern with VSiN Tonight, where they'll wrap up all the first-round action. Find all your NFL draft betting insights, including Matt Heumann's mock draft, by the way, as well, at VSiN.com/draft. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, live here at Bar Canada at the D. We get tweets real quick. Ben McGovern, I have no skin in the game of the Guardians bet, but I'm rooting for you guys. Take it down. Thank you, Ben. Stringfellow Hawk, riding with you, Gilly, at DK. Can you give a crash course in dead heat rules? Dead heat rules. Essentially, let me give you the exact thing. Is you're dividing.
Take your stake and divide it by however many guys you tie.
If you have 3 winners, you have to divide it by 3 in terms of what you're, if you had won it all by yourself, if you're tied with 2 other people, you have to divide it by 3. But then I think you also have to subtract your stake. That's where it gets ugly.
There's the crash course in dead heat rules, and then there's the real crash course in dead heat rules when you finally hit one.
Oh, and then you find out.
Yeah, you're like, oh, well, I didn't know this happened.
The real life crash course is the worst the first time it happens. BP futures bet. I'm not in on the Guardians bet, but I have Tanner Houck on my fantasy team, so I was hoping for a quality Houck start. And the late Guardians win last night. Bingo. Best of luck with this one. Thank you very much. Appreciate it very much. And Tanner Houck was good. Not quite as unbelievable as he was the first time, that's for sure, when he faced the Guardians. He is our senior NBA analyst. He is the co-host of VSiN Primetime with Tim Murray. He is Jonathan Von Tobel, everybody, at MeJVT on Twitter, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. JVT, let me start with the draft. First of all, good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm good.
I ended the last segment by talking about this latest Michael Lombardi rumor that he believes he has a source that says all six quarterbacks are going in the first round. Your thoughts, sir?
I mean, Lombardi, obviously, I always say this with anybody, not even just Lombardi, right, Gil, which is I think anybody talks to is probably hearing exactly what they're reporting, right? I don't think there's any lying going on whatsoever. It's just what's the accuracy of what you're hearing? And I feel pretty confident in being where I'm at in terms of under 4.5 quarterbacks. And, Lombardi even notes, like, he doesn't think these guys are worth first round picks, right? Yeah. And yet they're going to go in the first round. And what I've always found interesting about whether it's Lombardi's reporting or anybody else's reporting of that matter, when it comes to Penix and Nix, it is always the caveat of, I don't think these guys should be first round picks, but yeah. I think they're going to go in the first round. And I'll take you back to the Malik Willis, Kenny Pickett draft. We heard the whole time leading up to the draft, that, yeah, we don't think any of these guys are worth first round picks, but we're going to set the number at 3.5. We think 4 are going in the first round. When that ended up happening, one guy went in the first round. So I still feel relatively confident that we're only getting 4 guys in.
Okay. Before we get to the NBA. So your favorite bets that you have are under 4.5 quarterbacks at big plus money. Yep. I think you said plus 260. And what else?
Mm-hmm. Let's see. I'm going to pull them up right now. So that one, I've got over 9.5 offensive linemen going in the first round at minus 140. That would be one of the ones that I do have. I've got Tennessee Titans to draft an offensive lineman with their first pick. That would be at minus 300, as well as, here we go, JJ McCarthy over 5.5 plus 140. Laiatu Latu under 21.5 at even money. We said total quarterback, set offensive lineman, and Dallas Turner to go 8th overall plus 340. I think those are the 6 that I'm going to kind of go into battle with.
Wow, plus 340, solid on Dallas Turner, whether it happens or not, a solid number at this point. Yeah. Okay, let's go to the NBA. You will be part of the draft coverage tomorrow night, so people can look forward to that. NBA, let's start with the 4 series that are 2-0, including a couple that resulted in that last night. So of those 4 teams that are down 2-0, of those 4 teams, Philly being perhaps the one that leaps off the page, but let me just ask you, are any of the teams that are down, would you make a series bet on them right now?
I mean, I think Philly's got to be the one, right? Like, so if we go to, I think the next obvious answer would be Phoenix, but I'm somebody that didn't really buy into Phoenix coming into this postseason. I thought they were overvalued, much as the market did with them last season when they were favored over the Denver Nuggets and ended up losing that series in 6 games. So I think Philly, when you look at the way this goes down, and it's funny, we talked to Mo DeKeel of The Athletic yesterday, Gil, and he brought this up, which is Philadelphia's got to be frustrated because for the most part, if you look at it, their game plan is working, right? Like, they're defending Jalen Brunson the right way. They're doing everything they're supposed to do, and yet these little things keep working against them. When you talk about the foul calls at the end of the first game, the unreal shooting, or excuse me, in the second game, the unreal shooting that the Knicks had in the first game, and you can kind of look at this and go, I think you kind of stick by your game plan if you're Philly and just trust that home court holds out, because home court is worth something, as we're kind of seeing here in the postseason, some numbers would indicate. And then you go back to New York and you got to steal one, and you have the best player on the floor in terms of talent in Joel Embiid. So I think it's Philadelphia, and I know a lot of people might freak out about a 2-0 series lead, but again, you lose both of those on the road, you come back home, you take care of home court, you go back all knotted up 2-2, and it's the best 2 out of 3. So I don't think you're too worried about it. I mean, look, my team, they're down 1-0, or excuse me, they're tied 1-1. The Clippers have had plenty of series in which they've gone down 2-0 and ended up winning those series. The year they went to the Western Conference Finals, the first 2 series that they played, they were down 2-0, and they ended up making it to the final round of the Western Conference playoffs. So I don't think you're freaking out too much. If you believed in Philly, I think that you're coming in here on a little bit of a plus price on a team that you would argue is a little undervalued by the market. So yeah, I think it's Philly, no doubt.
Okay. Since you bring up the Clippers, let's get to them. Last night, the Mavericks knot up the best of 7 first round series at 1 game apiece. Luka shouting at the crowd over and over when he hits the dagger 3 late. Kawhi Leonard's insertion into the lineup. And by the way, JVT, let me just tell you, when the Clippers are playing, I am thinking about you. I'm like, I'm going through your emotions. But Kawhi looked really kind of bad yesterday, didn't he? Like, does that worry you that the insertion of him into the lineup might actually be a net negative here in the short term?
I mean, I think maybe in the first game, right? And I thought he did start to look a little bit more comfortable as he went down the stretch, right? He had a really powerful offensive rebound and a putback in the third quarter. They had that nifty play drawn up for him that looked like he was going to get an and one to cut the deficit to 2. And instead, of course, they ruled that it's not a foul. Like, so he started to look a little bit more comfortable as the game went along. So I think that now, as you look at it, with a game under your belt after missing 9, right, essentially a month, 2 days off to get ready for a road game, I think that's where you start to get a little bit more like, okay, maybe he's going to get back. But I don't think there's any doubt, especially in that first half. Didn't really look comfortable. Didn't look comfortable on the knee. Was like, hey, do I test it? What do I do here? His shot was off. But I think playing that game and then getting 2 to get ready for a road game is going to feel like he's going to help them more often than not. A player of that caliber should help you out in the long run.
Okay. For someone landing on this series now, would you advocate a bet on the Clippers at plus 130 to win the series? How would you play it? Game 3, by the way, the line that has been established is the Mavericks by 3.5 in game 3 back in Dallas.
Yep. I mean, look, I think that the Clippers are a little undervalued. You can make the argument through these two games, Gil, like they've played really well defensively. Their offense has just been pretty poor, but consecutive offensive ratings of 105.5 for the Dallas Mavericks. Last night, they busted out a very solid game plan of doubling Luka, making everybody else beat them. And it looked like maybe it was going to be successful. They've held them down pretty solidly throughout these two games. And at the very least, they have the better offensive performance through two games. That was, of course, in game one. So you're starting to see maybe that there is something that's working here. But I would say, as somebody who just came into this, right, with the futures ticket on somebody who thinks that the Clippers were undervalued, I would generally advocate for yes. Like, I think the Clippers are a little undervalued. We saw last night market opened up 4, came off of that kind of quickly. We're at 3.5 across the board. There's some agreement there, of course, with Kawhi Leonard back 2 and more comfortable. I would say yes. Like, if you're just dropping in, I do think the Clippers are a little bit more live than the general consensus would be. But of course, I'm like, you know, what's the meme with everybody in the pitchforks and the torches, and it's just me in the middle of all of them. It very much feels that way. But I do think that there is some value here on an undervalued Clippers team.
If the Clippers had won, I was going to ask you, how many times do you scream, like, with your kids next to you, like, yeah, told you? Like, that was just,
yeah, well, my kids go to bed for, like, they're about in bed by about 8:30. So it would be, the victim is my wife, who sits there and tries to read a book on the couch while I'm sitting there, like, shaking her. And when they went up by 6 points and I was sitting there, you're like, let's go, Norm, you know, after Norm hit the 3-point shot. But I knew. I even told her after he hit that, then I calmed down. I was like, they're going to lose this game. And sure enough, they did. So
she's like, I married this. All right, tonight, yep. Celtics by 14.5 over the Heat, game 2. Thunder, 7.5, game 2 over the Pelicans. Any thoughts? Any bets?
Yeah, I think you're going. So I'll say this really quickly. For the Oklahoma City Thunder and the New Orleans Pelicans, I don't fault anybody for wanting to take the points with New Orleans. Not so much just because of the base result, like, hey, they didn't cover. You know, the Pelicans grabbed 35.6% of their missed shots, guys, in that game. They had 18 offensive rebounds, had second chance opportunities. That's not something that's generally going away against an Oklahoma City Thunder team, as we've talked about a lot, is so much smaller and is going to have trouble keeping teams off the board. But the real thing to watch out for, guys, and the market has adjusted a bit here, Josh Giddey only had 20 minutes in that first game. Yeah. For Oklahoma City, he is a guy that you could put your center on, that you could play off of defensively. You don't have to worry about him spacing the floor. I think we're going to start to see his minutes dwindle here in this series, and you're still looking at points, rebounds, and assists at about 21.5. He might be worth playing under in this series until you see a real solid adjustment, because I think he's going to get played off the floor. And a guy like Cason Wallace is going to be a guy that's going to take some of those minutes from him.
I actually texted in a group chat. I'm like, wow, Giddey gets no crunch time play at all. Like, he's not even a thought. Yeah. Tomorrow night's, since we won't be able to talk to you before them, Magic by 2 in game 3 over Cleveland, trying to get off the schneid. Sixers by 4.5 over the Knicks. Lakers by 1. Your knee jerk as best bet there is?
That would be this Philadelphia 76ers.
Laying the points there. Game 3, getting back. Getting on the board, I should say, in this series. Down 2-0 to the Knicks. JBT, we look forward to the draft coverage tomorrow night, man. Thank you so much.
Guys.
Jonathan Von Tobel, everybody, and me, JBT. Visa Prime Time, weeknights, 6 p.m. right here at the network. We'll come back. So much to discuss. Baseball, NFL draft next with Will Hill.
A numbers game on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Start your morning with a daily dose of winning strategies, insider tips, and the latest buzz with the free VSIN daily newsletter in today's version.
In today's newsletter, Michael Lombardi talking about all the quarterbacks going and much more draft coverage as we lead up to round 1.
Get expert in... Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to step on you there.
Y'all good.
Get expert analysis, the latest odds delivered straight to your inbox. Absolutely free. Visit VSiN.com/newsletter to subscribe. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Best listeners in the game, period. Doug Tuttle. Didn't Reggie just borrow money against future earnings? Talk about Reggie Bush getting his Heisman back. Was that the story? Was that what he did?
Right. Well, I don't know.
I don't know, but they got his Heisman back, and it's all ridiculous. Give championships back. Give Heismans back. Rideco. He goes, was in a car going to dinner listening to Cleveland. My wife asked, why are you listening to the Red Sox? I didn't answer. Then the seventh inning came along and lots of questions were then asked to me. Michael Burns, that was the comeback. Michael Burns. Sal Palantonio was on FTM this morning, agreed with Michael Lombardi. He said 68 and 66 quarterback starters the last 2 years league-wide is driving this, in his opinion. Talking about the six quarterbacks, Lombardi saying that six quarterbacks will be drafted. Listen, we've said it a million times on this show. We get it. Teams, you're nothing in this league without a starting quarterback. That's great. Overperforming on a rookie deal so you can pay other people and win a Super Bowl, or you know, You only other win a Super Bowl by being a Hall of Famer, but I get it. You're nothing without a quarterback, so you want to believe so badly that you're the guy that can make Bo Nix into greatness. Except for the fact that all of us watched Bo Nix and none of us ever said, oh, that's a first-round draft pick. This is from, let's see, doop-a-doo, primetime. I'm sorry. I have no skin in the game with Adam Burke's Guardians that you've hostily taken over for a month. But due to your ill-advised hate of all things Cowboys, I hope you dead heat your wins bet. I will not dead heat because I'm at Circa, so I don't dead heat. I'm just worried about the people that are dead heating elsewhere. I've got all the time.
Just another example. Visa Prime Time, you're in a heads-up bet with Gil. Why you got to Gil to lose money?
He's just playing around. No, he's,
come on, Visa Prime Time. We love you, man.
And then Jason Sparty KY. I think this opinion needs to be stated. He said, God, I can't wait till the draft is over. Some people feel that way.
Oh, yeah. God.
So, by the way, I started the show by saying, I was like, I need this draft to happen because we got to stop making bets.
I mean, I feel like you and I at some point kind of apologize every year, but we love it. We love betting it. So we talk about it a lot.
We love it.
Completely understand, though, yeah. If you feel that way.
Will Hill joins us. I'm sure he's not going to talk about the draft at all. He comes to us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. The name of his podcast, Shoulda Bet More. What's happening, Will?
I need this draft to happen. I need it to happen right away because I'm like, you know, every time I hear something, this could happen, that could happen, I back it up with a bet, and that's a very dangerous cycle to jump into. You end up with more bets than you wanted. I told myself I wasn't going to do it this year, but I look at my accounts and yeah, let's get this draft to happen and let's hopefully hit some of these.
Will, is that blazer a velour or velvet or is it kind of sheen? What's happening there?
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Wow. All the above.
All the above, yeah.
I think is what it was. Okay, so let's talk about this. First pick, Caleb. Second pick, I think you're on board that you think it's Jaden Daniels to Washington. Then, for God's sakes, what?
I'll go a little boring. I'll go chalk. I'll say May goes third, Harrison fourth, and then Alt fifth.
Give me Alt fifth, baby.
Do any of us know? I mean, it's all just – it's a lot of guesswork. I don't know. The draft was so much better to bet years ago. Now it's just everyone's tight-lipped. I don't know if it's because the Colts-Lions players got in trouble. The memo's out. We want to make this a compelling TV event. We don't want any sort of mix-up with the gambling. I don't know why stuff hasn't leaked, but I text with people that usually have information and usually have good stuff and beat the draft. They're like, nothing this year. Can't find anything. I listen to Megapod. You guys did a great job, but it's harder. So, like I said, we joke about, betting too much stuff and chasing the information. Just have fun with it. Realize this is a little bit of a crapshoot and just, try to enjoy the night. It is a fun night and hopefully we can win some money. There is one bet I added that I like.
Oh, I knew he would get to it. What do you got?
Rams 25-1 to draft a quarterback. Now, if you have small children, they're going to witness something they haven't in their lifetime. That is the Rams having a first round pick for the first time since 2016. Look, Stafford's going to be 37 by year's end.
Incredible.
The best time to get a quarterback is when you don't need ones. You don't have to overpay. You don't have to overdraft. You can just kind of do it as a little bit of a luxury item. So maybe Stafford plays one more year. Remember, there have been whispers about his retirement last year. Maybe he plays one more year and you got a year to just sit, groom him, go with the Jordan Love Mahomes thing where he sits for a year. And they pick somebody maybe. I think they have the 19th pick. So 25-1, do I think it's going to happen? Maybe. I don't know. I think it's worth a shot. I do think they'll pick a quarterback, and they have 19. They have 51, so maybe they take 151. But I do think McVay has his eye on – look, Donald retired. Stafford's probably not far behind. I do think they have their eye on the next quarterback. He likes quarterbacks. He's an offensive coach. So at 25-1 to pick a quarterback, I don't think that's terrible.
I like that. I'm not sure what part I liked most about that was you for a minute talking about how it's like it's not as fun this year, damning the Megapod with faint praise because we gave it a go. You're like, yeah, it was good, but, the draft is so tough. And then you're like, 25-1 on the Rams. Get drafted quarterback. Oh, and I also like the nugget about the Rams not having a first-round pick since 2016. That's amazing.
Right? I mean, they traded up for Goff, then they traded to get rid of Goff and get Stafford. They traded for him. I mean, they haven't, it's a decade without a pick. That's got to be some sort of a record.
Well,
I wonder if they look at it and kind of, hey, last year was a good year, but this is a little bit of not a gap year, but we can compete this year and still be set next year. Where, I don't know, like I said, the best time when you need a quarterback, you end up overpaying, overdrafting. You're desperate. When you're not desperate, you can just kind of. You can kind of pick one up along the way. I think it's the best time to get one.
Yeah, it's certainly a modern day record, the Rams having gone so long without a first round pick. But if you go back in the annals of history, George Allen was a coach who made a career out of trading first round picks for veterans. So there were guys like that who just decided, this is terrible. I want kids. I want veterans. All right, let me just ask you a series of questions here that real quick, and we'll get to your thoughts on basketball. One, will the Jets draft Brock Bowers 10th?
I'll say no. I'll say they go offensive line, but not convinced, but I'll say no. I just think you need to protect Rodgers. Like, if Rodgers gets hurt, everybody in that organization gets fired. That experiment never got off the ground last year. You have to protect him. You have to give everybody a chance. And they brought in offensive linemen, but they're older players, guys that are injury prone. So I'll say they go offensive line.
What do the Falcons end up doing at 8? It was long thought to be Dallas Turner. Now, not so much.
I'll go Murphy, the defensive lineman from Texas.
Wow. How many quarterbacks will ultimately be drafted in the first round?
11. No, I'll go 6.
If they could, they would. 11. And then what team botches this draft?
That's a great question. What team botches the draft? I'll say whoever picks McCarthy.
Wow. Okay. I like that answer. I like that you went for the long-term answer and not the next day armchair quarterbacking winners and losers column pick.
That what you said reminds me, because look, none of us know who's going to be good out of these players. We think we know. We have opinions, but the narratives are important. Keep an eye on the narratives, because I remember last year Philly, their win total was 10.5 before the draft. Then the draft happened, and it was widely believed that they had a great draft. They drafted Carter. They drafted the other kid from Georgia, and eventually that win total tick 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 up to 11.5. So right. 10.5 up to 11.5, it fell right in the middle of 11. So keep an eye on, hey, everyone loves this team's draft, whether you like it or not. That just bank that information in terms of, hey, season win total, futures. That can move. Draft doesn't move a ton of numbers, but if everyone loves somebody's draft, just keep that in mind for season win totals, things like that.
Yeah, and again, with the exception of what I just asked Will about, and he came up with the J.J. McCarthy answer, which is a long-term thought, but I sort of goaded him into that answer. What we do here is not talent evaluation. We're just trying to win bets in a draft. And I hope most, because there's inevitably going to be some segment of the audience that's going to be like, oh, you said this guy was going to, we're not talking about whether good or not. I have no idea if Jaden Daniels is going to be good or not. I don't, but I know they should pick him too.
Look, last year, C.J. Stroud was a good player, and I know people that bet him first overall pick, and they don't get paid on that bet, even though he turned out to be really good.
I hate you. Okay, NBA or baseball? What have you bet, or both?
We'll go NBA. I laid $1.55 on the Celtics to sweep the Heat. I don't see how the Heat win a game. I don't see how they come within 10 points. They just cannot score. The Celtics have good defenders everywhere. The Heat, not just without Butler, but without Rozier. I mean, you're talking about Hawkins and Love and Hero. I know the Celtics play with their food and they get a little sloppy. Look, it's -155 now. The Celtics are going to win game 3 by 15, 20 points, probably more. And this line's going to be -230. They're going to be like an 8-9 point favorite in game 3. And as long as they win game 3, they're up 3-0. Miami's going to go 1-2-3 Cancun. They're not going to just rise up and win game 4 and try to extend the series. They know it's over. I think this is going to be over very quickly. So I'm okay laying the $1.55 on the sweep. On tomorrow, I like Cleveland Orlando under again. To me, they keep ticking it down. They keep adjusting it, but I don't know that they're adjusting it enough. I mean, this is early 2000s basketball. It's ugly. It reminds me of those. What was it? The Pacers Pistons series, the early 2000s. Maybe it's not that bad, but I don't see the winner getting 100 points in any of these games. It's just 90s, 80s. So 198.5, I think, is the under. I played the under the first two games. I'll go back to the well here with the under. Orlando has a lot of talent. None of that talent seems to include putting the ball through the hoop.
That's right, which seems to be the object of the game, I'm told. Yes. Yeah, the Jimmy Butler thing, it sucks that we got robbed of at least being
and
able
Zion.
To see
we
that
would,
through. Yeah,
we would have had a great 1-16 if we had Butler, we had Zion, it'd be very balanced. Those two hurt.
It did. It did definitely hurt. Will, always a pleasure. Should have bet more. The name of the podcast. Who's your latest guest?
Fred Siegel, Freezing Cold Takes.
Oh, Freezing Cold Takes. Ask him about Kelly Bidlin, Freezing Cold Takes. Did you ask him?
Oh, I didn't know to ask him.
Oh, you. I'm sorry, but Chris Singleton's going to be better than Kawhi Leonard. That was Kelly's. Thank you, Will. See you, Najad, NFL and golf next.
The Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Hey, don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boost, and so much more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code VSiN. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code VSIN only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. We get tweets at Beating the Book. This is from Nash, last name Nash. He says, I don't know what's more exclusive in 2024, getting information on an NFL team's draft board or finding a top-notch sushi place in Vegas. Sam Ginsburg.
When's Jerry Jones going to tweet out the picture of their draft board? We were waiting on that. That will happen during the first round.
By the way, I probably should have stipulated that that rumor about there being, you know, Lombardi saying he's got the intel, six quarterbacks are going in the first round. I'm still under 4.5, and I'm not changing that. I'm just sticking on that bet. I'm not betting accordingly. Sam, to that news, Sam Ginsburg. I was also thinking about George Allen trading all the draft picks to get veteran players. Anytime I hear a reference to George Allen, I'm reminded of the Jack Kent Cook quote as Skins team owner. We gave George an unlimited budget, and he exceeded it. The late, great Jack Kent Cook, he always had great lines. When they won their first Super Bowl, he goes, okay. First thing out of his mouth, he goes, do we get to keep this trophy? First thing he said. Larry Fresh. Oh, he's imagining the conversation I just had with Will. Gil, is that velvet or velour? Will, you know what they call a guy that pays that much attention to his clothes, right? Gil, an adult. That conversation did not exactly happen that way. Ladies and gentlemen, and again, we apologize to Sparty KY, Jason, who is sick and tired of talking about the draft. But Sia Najat is here to talk golf with us. But yes, we will ask him about his NFL draft bets as well. He comes to us courtesy, of course, of the Progressive Guest Line. Sia, for those who don't know, on Twitter, at Sia Najat, S-I-A-N-E-J-A-D, pardon me. Host and analyst for Monumental Sports Network in D.C. Sports Line. What's happening, Sia?
What's going on, fellas? I come here armed and prepared for Zurich picks, but I mean, I know it's kind of like a down week in golf, so we've got that, but I love that we've got the NFL draft coming up tomorrow, 24 hours. That's amazing.
You are not allowed to be on the show today without having NFL draft bets. I think that's the rule. First, Zurich Classic bets. Unlike some other golf bettors, you know, I'm looking at the guy next to me.
Yeah, took the week off. All you see.
This guy over here. This is a different format, but that did not deter you from making bets. First, explain the format.
Yeah, the format is a team format. So you've got 160 players, which sounds like a lot, right? But it's 80 teams. It's, you know, pairs, which I think can be exciting for some people. I think the problem is that the way the setup is and the lack of like big time players, I think that's part of the reason why you don't see a lot of fanfare for this. But you've got teams, 80 teams here, and you've got top 33 in ties that make the cut. So the format in terms of the structure, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I think this is the important part. So it's best ball for day one for Thursday, which means let's say Xander Schauffele, Cantlay, they're a pair. Each of them play their ball. If one gets a birdie, the other gets a par, birdie is going to be their score on that hole. So that's what best ball is. Then on Friday, it goes to alternate shot where Xander hits it off the tee, Cantlay hits the approach, Xander, if they're on the green, hits the putt, and so on and so forth. You're alternating. That's going to be sort of the harder setup where you'd like to have two really good players in that type of setup. And then it goes back to best ball and then alternate shot Saturday and Sunday. So that's the format of it. We've got some heavy hitters at the top, obviously, with Schauffele and Cantlay and Zalatoris and Thigala and Rory McIlroy's in this tournament, which is pretty cool, and Shane Lowry. And then it gets to a lot of, like, you know, lesser names once you get past Morikawa and Kitayama.
Schauffele just daring his wife to give birth, just daring her at this point. He's like, I'm playing all this stuff.
Scheffler.
Well, you're...
Oh,
you're
Scheffler, I'm sorry. Scheffler, I'm sorry. I said Schauffele. My bad. Scheffler's sitting this one out, thankfully.
Yeah, exactly.
Schauffele and Cantlay are the short shots here. Who did you bet outright, though?
I went with a couple longer shots. Like, listen, this isn't going to be a card that's going to be as full as a normal card because there's just so much variance. And I think that's really illustrated by Davis Riley and Nick Hardy winning last year. Like, two guys who I guess you could make the argument were kind of good course fits. I think they were around 80-1 last year. But long story short, they weren't even coming in with good form. So it was a huge surprise. Granted, favorites do tend to win this tournament as well. But I went with one of the favorites. They were plus 1,000. Now they're kind of down in the plus 850 range, plus 700, depending on where you look. Will Zalatoris, Sahith Theegala. I mean, Sahith Theegala is playing better than most players on the PGA Tour, including most of the players that are in this tournament. And Will Zalatoris, he's been a little up and down. I was a little discouraged by his off the tee play and his putting over the last few tournaments. But overall, he's a great player, obviously. He's great on approach. I think these two players complement each other really well. We know Sahith can get hot everywhere, including off the tee and with the putter. And that's kind of where Will Zalatoris has at least been a little shaky. So I think this is it. By the way, they're good friends too. So I think this is going to be like two guys walking the course for 4 days that are going to be very comfortable with each other, hopefully 4 days, as opposed to two. I've got one other one here, Corey Connors and Taylor Pendrith. Taylor Pendrith is one of those guys that almost put him in the Davis Riley, Nick Hardy category as a guy that's kind of coming in with okay form, but I'm starting to see some flashes. And again, I put him in that other mold because he just hasn't been good for about a year. He missed a ton of cuts, but he's made two of his three cuts. He was good last week at Corrales. And Corey Connors, I think, complements him very well. Taylor Pendrith, really good off the tee, really good putter. Corey Connors, more of the ball striking variety that can be a little shaky with the putter. But if these guys get hot, I think plus 2,800 is a pretty good number, given that this field only has four or five prolific pairs.
And you added a tournament three ball as well.
Yeah, I mentioned Morikawa and Kitayama. I like them at plus 150. You can get this pretty much everywhere. Over the Højgaard brothers, that's Nikolai and Rasmus, who haven't been very good lately. And Hoagie and McNealy. Hoagie and McNealy actually have been good lately. Their metrics look really good overall over the last four or five tournaments. I think the issue I have here with them is I don't think they have the firepower that Kitayama and Morikawa have, especially considering how well Morikawa's played, particularly with the putter and with the ball striking really more off the tee there. But again, I'm getting plus 150 here in this three ball. It's not like it's a minus 110 number. So I think I'm getting the better pair with the better firepower with at least nearly, if not better form than Hoagie and McNealy. I don't think the Højgaards are really going to be in this one too much. So give me Morikawa and Kitayama.
Xander Schauffele just called. He's like, my wife's pregnant. It's twice I've done that now. All right. And if you thought team golf would prevent Sia from doing first round leaders, oh, you were mistaken. It's his bread and butter. What do you got here?
First round leaders. We know this is an exact science every week. So, of course, it's even more exact of a science when you've got pairs involved. Please read the sarcasm here. We're just sprinkling here, okay? Xander Schauffele and Patrick Cantlay. I really don't want to take them plus 400 in the outright market, but I will dabble on them in plus 1,200 in the first round. Keep in mind, again, this is best ball. So I'm getting their best efforts on each hole, plus 1,200 first round leader. And then I'll give you two more. Corey Connors, Taylor Pendrith. I don't need to belabor the point on them. Plus 3,500. I like that number. And then as a long shot, CT Pan and Kevin Yu. Kevin Yu does flash in first round. CT Pan has been good with the ball striking lately. I think these guys are good for 18, certainly not good for 72, but 50-1, I'm willing to speculate on those two.
All right, Sia, you must pay the toll now and talk NFL draft with us. Caleb Williams goes first to Chicago. You're in D.C. Are they taking Jaden Daniels at number two?
They are taking Jaden Daniels at number two. I was shocked about a month and a half ago, Gil, when I was on this show. It was Drake May that was the favorite, and Jaden Daniels was like plus 130 or plus 140, and that's when I jumped on that one because, and I don't bet the draft super hard, don't get me wrong, but I was really shocked by that, and the tables turned pretty quickly. I think Jaden Daniels is going to be the guy. Everything I'm hearing points to Jaden Daniels. I know we kind of had that little issue with the Top Golf thing, which honestly, when I say it out loud, sounds just completely ridiculous in all senses of that
it
word.
It really
but
does.
The long and short of it is I do think Jaden Daniels is the guy. I personally love Jaden Daniels. And I've said this on this show before, too. I think Jaden Daniels could be or is better than Caleb Williams. So, again, I'm out on an island there. That's fine. I think there's a lot of overrated prospects in this draft. I think Jaden Daniels, as long as he can stay healthy, is one of the dudes. And I expect him to go two to the Washington Commanders.
I like it. Number three, then. What do you think? Do you have any idea what happens at three? What is your instinct at this point?
Yeah, this is a really good question. I think New England ends up going with a quarterback here. I could see them trading out of this pick as well, but I think they end up drafting a quarterback, and I think it's probably going to be Drake May here. So JJ McCarthy getting a lot of buzz, but I think it's too high for JJ.
Did you make any bets here, Sia, at all? Did you make any bets in the NFL draft?
Yeah, on Jaden Daniels only. The only other one that I was really tempted to play was, and I think you're on the other side of this, was what was your quarterback bet? Because I think we could see another quarterback go after Drake May, after JJ McCarthy in the first round. I think we could see, I think people are sleeping on Michael Penix Jr. personally. So it wouldn't shock me if he goes in the first round.
Yeah, I did under 4.5 because I just thought the number got way too high not to play. Like I wasn't going to get involved. I wasn't going to get involved in number two either. But then when Jaden Daniels number crashed, I was like, okay, I'm forced to bet. It's my obligation. Okay. I look forward to it. Thank you for that Jaden Daniels confirmation there as well. you believe if you do think it's Michael Penix, though, where do you believe he ends up? Do you think the Raiders make the pick on him at 13? Really, 13?
No, but I could see the Raiders maybe trading back. Like, I do think we're going to see some trading down in this situation, or a team trading up from the second round to late first round so you can carry that fifth year option. So don't be surprised if you get a team early second round trading into the late first round.
See, I think that's how it's going to go with quarterbacks. I think we're going to get McCarthy being the fourth, or Drake May being the fourth, whichever way that pans out. And then the Knicks Penix, will there be a fifth? It's going to come late in that first round where someone is either going to trade in or whatever. Yeah. See ya. Always great. Good luck with the golf. Good luck with the draft. We appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Love being on the show. See you guys soon.
See you, Najat, everybody. Jason Weingarten on the other side. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.